Not that I deserved it. Not that I met the qualifications for it. But I'm thankful that he died for me. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to be here in the house of the Lord, to be able to break open the word of life one more time. For those of you all who don't know, in my full-time job, and I laugh when I say that because ministry is a full-time job, but in my other full-time job, I'm an instructor in the health education department at the illustrious Morgan State University. And this week, most of the classes that I teach are mainly freshman-oriented classes. So I have, on an average semester, anywhere from 150 to 200 students. And most of those, especially in the fall, are freshmen. First year, first semester freshmen, never been away from their parents, don't really know what they're doing, wet behind the ears, still trying to figure out what's going on. And in this particular week, I had a student who emailed me, a young lady who was emailing me, and she was like, "Dr. Holt, I need to come and see you. I need to come and see you. I don't understand what's going on in this homework assignment." And I'm like, it's real basic. I mean, I was perplexed as to why she was stressing. And so I said, "Well, come to my office and see me." So she came into my office, and she was, you know, talking really loud and talking really fast. And she was like, "I just don't understand. I'm trying to do well. You know, I don't want to get bad grades in your class." And I'm just like, it's just really not that serious. So I said to her, "Well, why don't you pull it up on the screen so I can see what you're talking about?" And as she pulled it up on my computer screen, I immediately said to myself, "I see what the problem is." And I calmed her down. I said, "Well, can you just let me say something? Let me speak." And so I went to the screen, and I took the mouse, and I scrolled over, and I clicked one button. And that one button changed the settings on the screen. And when it changed the settings on the screen, it changed the perspective of what the assignment was. And she was like, "Oh, my God, is that simple?" I'm like, "Yes, it's that simple." But oftentimes in our life, our perspective can have a huge impact on how we look at things. You know, here she was all in a tizzy, you know, "I'm a failure class, you know, my parents are going to be upset, you know, I'm not going to be able to get the career I want to get." And all she had to do was to press a button. All she had to do was to change her perspective of what she was looking at. And when I was able to change the perspective for her, it was like the light bulb went off. It was like, "Oh, okay, I got that." And as I begin to think about that in our spiritual journey, and I want to preach this morning asking the question, how's your perspective? Ask your neighbor, how's your perspective? Ask your neighbor on the other side, how's your perspective? Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you will hide me behind the cross. God, minister unto me even as I minister unto your people. For God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. We thank you for the power of your word and how it has the ability to change our mind and change our perspective. Be with us during this time of sharing. In Jesus' name, amen. And so oftentimes, and I'm sure that many of you all can really think about your spiritual journey or your relationship journey or your work life, and oftentimes our perspective really sets the tone for a lot of things that we do. Having the right perspective can make the difference between you feeling like you're on top of the world or feeling like you're 6 feet under. Having the right perspective can make you get up out of the bed in the morning and face situations and circumstances, or choose to be stuck in a rut and not move forward. Your perspective has a large role to play. And as I was, you know, thinking about this student this week, and as I was thinking about, you know, oftentimes in our spiritual journeys, especially as people come and talk to me, you know, in ministry and come and talk to me in my teaching career, I'm like, you know, perspective is really huge. And when I went to look at the text for today, I said, what better an example? We hear the story of Daniel and the lion's den all the time. You know, we learned it in Sunday school. You know, they have little songs. They have, you know, different rhymes that you can use for. But there's a lot of things that we can learn from the life of Daniel and from what happened in Daniel's life as we try to ask that question, how's your perspective? And so there are three things that I would like to point out to you very quickly that would really hopefully, as a result of you being here and after you leave here, you will really begin to think about your perspective on things, and it will begin to move in a positive way and not in a negative way. The first thing that we need to understand is that your perspective may cause others around you to have issues. Let me say that again. Your perspective may cause issues for others around you. If we look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, it said, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, sanctioned through the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, including Daniel. To those satraps gave account so that the king might suffer no loss. Soon Daniel distinguished himself above all the presidents and the satraps because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to appoint him over the whole kingdom. So the presidents and the satraps tried to find grounds for complaint against Daniel in connection with the kingdom. But they could find no ground for any complaint or corruption because he was faithful and no negligence or corruption could be found in him. The men said to them, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in the connection with the law of his God." Oftentimes, depending on where your perspective is, and as we try to get to the point in our spiritual walk where we're connecting with God, and when we try to get to the point in our spiritual walk where God is leading us, oftentimes people around us will begin to have issues with where we're going. Oftentimes in life, people will have issues if you pray before you eat. Sometimes people will have issues if you pray before you make decisions. Sometimes people in life will have issues if you do not do things because it goes contrary to the word of God. In other words, as our perspective changes, we're going to have haters. As we try to press our way into God, as we try to go to Bible study more, as we try to pay our tithe more regularly, as we try to show up to church and show up to meetings on time, there are haters who will come your way. Don't get upset about it. Get frustrated. They're just coming, okay? Don't cuss them out. Don't talk about them. Don't hate them. Just know that haters are coming your way. As you try to be more like God, as you try to take on the mind of Christ, people are going to be bothered about what you're doing. And it's really not you that they're bothered with. Let me help somebody out. It's really not you that they're bothered with. It's the Spirit of God that is within you. A couple of weeks ago, Reverend Brantley talked about putting on a full armor of God. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You're not wrestling against this flesh that I have on. You're wrestling against the Spirit of God that is within me. And as a result of the Spirit of God being near you, there is conviction that will come. Have you ever noticed people stop cussing when you come in the room? Have you ever been in a situation where somebody will stop listening to certain types of music when you come in the room? Have you noticed around the work cooler, when you step into the room, everybody scatters? And that's not a bad thing. That's not something you need to be discouraged about, because when the Spirit of God rests in you, there are just some things that can't happen in your presence. There are just some things that people will gain respect for you for, and there are just some things that I will not say to you and I will not do because I revere or I am in a high esteem of the God that is within you. Don't be mad when they don't let you in on the gossip. That's a good thing. Don't be mad when you're not in the sister circle anymore. That's a good thing. Don't be mad when you're not in the popular circle anymore, because when God elevates you and when God lifts you, oftentimes people have issues. Jesus himself only traveled with 12 people, just 12. He, large crowds often follow, but in his inner circle, it was only a few. And as you grow in your spiritual walk and as your perspectives begins to change, your circle of friends may get a little bit smaller. People may not call you as much. Your phone may not ring as much. Social media may not ding as much. You may not be invited to all of the parties because God is trying to set you apart for a higher purpose or a higher calling. And that's why it's important that we understand that it is critical that we get our perspective together, because there are some things that God is going to do around you. There are some things that God is going to bring you to that you must have the right perspective. God doesn't have time to go back and teach you what you were supposed to learn in kindergarten. Some of us have been in church long enough to have a terminal degree, and we're still sitting in kindergarten. Why is that? God is talking to us in new and exciting ways, and you're like, I still can't hear you, God. It's too much noise going on in my head. It's too many distractions going on around me. It's too much people trying to speak life or speak death into me. God, help me to hear. Help me to get to the point where I can understand that I need the right perspective. And God, help me not get discouraged when the haters come. God, help me not get caught up in majoring in the minors. How many of y'all are majoring in the minors? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just put it out there. God is trying to call you to a different place. God is trying to elevate you to a different place, and you're still caught up in stuff that really doesn't matter. We're still caught up in mess that really has nothing to do with us. We're carrying generational curses that should have been broken many, many years ago because our perspective hasn't changed. We need to get to the point in ministry, and I've been saying this for over a year now. You know, God is moving. You know, at one point we were saying God is about to move. Well, the train has left the station. And as we continue to go forward and as we continue to seek after what God is, it is critical that we have the right perspective as a church, because we cannot get caught up in the foolishness that people are going to try to bring our way. We can't get caught up in the minutiae that people are going to try to bring our way. We can't get caught up in the he said and the she said and who are you? We don't have time for that. Because God is calling us to a different place. God is calling us to a different level. And we need to understand that people may have issues as a result of what they see God doing in our life. The second thing that we need to understand is that your perspective has a direct impact on how you go through a situation. In verses number 19 through 23, it said, then at daybreak, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. And when he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel said to him, oh, king, live forever. My God has sent his angel to shut up the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, because I have been found blameless before him and before you. Oh, king, I have done nothing wrong. In life, we will find ourselves in some lion's den situations. In life, there are going to be some situations that could potentially take you out. In your spiritual journey, there are going to be some trials and tribulations that you have that might potentially make you lose your mind. But because I have the right perspective on the situation, then I'm not necessarily affected by what's going on around me. Ooh, it's quiet in here today. Daniel was put in a situation where he could have potentially lost his life. Daniel was put into a situation and into an environment with animals who are meant to kill. Daniel was put into a situation that he probably really should not have been in. But because he knew who was in control, because he had the right perspective going in, he was like, I'm good. I'm I'm good. Might get a little nervous. I'm good. As God pushes you forward, as God expands your comfort zone, as God raises you in ministry, there are going to be some situations and circumstances that you're not going to be used to. Put on your big girl, boy, or drawers. Get your napkin in hand. Get your scripture in your heart and a song in your spirit. And go through it. Don't avoid it. Go through it. Don't try to put it off on somebody else. Go through it. Don't make excuses for why you're delaying what it is that God has for you. Go through it. And understand that with the right perspective, that you'll be able to sustain whatever comes your way. That's why it's so important that we stay connected to God. And if you really thought about it, think about yourself where you were 10 years ago. Get that mental image in your mind. Think about where God has you today. Okay? If God told you 10 years ago that you would be where you are today, would you be ready? If God told you that he was going to send you to minister to people in the way that you are today 10 years ago, would you have been ready? No. No, you would not have been. And that's the reason why we always need to stay connected to the source. Because as we go on our spiritual journey, there's some things that God needs to give us. We may be on mashed potatoes and gravy at this point. But at some point, I need to progress to a cracker. And then I need to progress to a piece of chicken. And I may even progress to a piece of steak. But I can't make that progression if I'm not in contact with the one who's the author and the finisher. Some of us are busted and disgusted and have attitudes and are frustrated because we're not in connection with the one who's the author and the finisher of our faith. You want to be less attitudinal? Change your perspective. You want to stop cussing so much? Change your perspective. You want to stop being bothered by what other people are saying around you, which really has nothing to do with you? Change your perspective. Guarantee you, you'll sleep better at night. You'll take less medicine. In the bottle and in the pill. People won't bother you as much because your perspective is in the right place. When you go outside today, you don't have to do it now. And please don't do it outside the church because people may think something's wrong with you. When you get out your car, maybe when you go home, I just want you to look straight up. Just bend over a little bit, look straight up. You may have to even sit in a chair and look straight up. But you know what the wonderful thing about it is? When I'm looking straight up, I really can't see what's going on around me. I really don't have a full perspective of what's happening around me. And see, oftentimes, the reason why our perspective is not correct is because many of us are doing like this. What you doing? What you doing? Where you go last night? What you going to do after church? Am I coming to your house for dinner? Right? We're so busy looking around, trying to figure out what everybody else is doing, and God is like, just look up. Stop paying attention to what everybody else is doing. Stop comparing yourself to what everybody else is doing. Stop being bothered with what everybody else is doing and get on my plan. God is like, my plan works. My plan works. Hello? God is like, my plan, me, the big guy, the guy upstairs, the one who made you, the one who created you, the one who knows how many hairs are on your head. I get on my plan. How's your perspective? We have to understand and realize that our perspective has a direct, like, not an indirect, right? A direct effect on what it is we go through. So maybe you need to ask yourself when you go through our situation and circumstances, is my perspective in the right place? And if my perspective is not in the right place, what is it that I need to do in order to get it in the right place so that I could successfully go through things that I'm going through? And let me also help some of us out, because and being a teacher, I know oftentimes my students ask me, "Can Dr. Holt, can I do a redo?" Dr. Holt, can I make that work up? Why do you have to keep making up work in your spiritual journey? Why is it that you have to keep coming back to God time and time and time and time and time again and saying, "God, can I redo it?" God is like, just do it. Stop making excuses. Stop saying I can't. Stop saying I won't. Stop saying I'm not equipped enough. God is like, just do it. Colin Kaepernick, just do it. Is Nike's just do it, boy, right? Just do it. Stop making excuses. Stop talking yourself out of it. The Spirit of Living God is saying you can. It's up to you to say I will. After we understand that our perspective has a direct impact, the last thing we need to understand is your perspective can influence other people. In the latter part of that chapter, it says the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he trusted in his God. The king gave the command to those who had accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den. They, their children, and their wives. Let me stop right there. This is not what I came to preach about, but when you ask God to have his way, sometimes things get off track. The foolishness that is going on in your life does not only impact you. Those things that you think you're doing in secret that nobody knows about, it doesn't impact just you, right? So there is no, I'm doing it, but it only impacts me. No, it doesn't. Here in this text, because these governors and satraps tried to set up Daniel, because these governors and these satraps had the wrong thing going on in their life, because they were majoring in the minors, their families ended up perishing. Are your families perishing? How many of your kids are perishing because of what you're doing in your life? How many of your companies, where you get a paycheck and benefits, are perishing because of the decisions that you're making in your life? Let me bring it even closer to home. How is Emory Grove perishing because of what you're doing? I'm preaching. Amen. Amen, self. I came with an amen in my spirit. What are you doing in your life that's causing those around you to perish? It's not too late. Because you have breath in your lungs, there is an opportunity for you to make a change. It's not too late. You're not too far gone. You're not too messed up for God to fix you. But you got to be willing. God is able. There's no question about whether or not God is able. The question is, are you willing to allow God to do things in your life? And if I ask you honestly, for most of us, we would probably answer no. No, I'm not willing. Because that's a scary thing. It's scary to relinquish control. It's scary to say, "God, have your way." We talked about that the week before last. It's a scary thing to give God control of your life. But the benefits that come with that are out of this world. But you got to trust him. Let me keep reading. Okay, before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the people and all the nations of every language throughout the whole world. May you have abundant prosperity. I make a decree that all my royal dominion people should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Because of Daniel's perspective, he not only influenced those around him, but he influenced the rest of the world. And as you have the right perspective, you have that ability. We don't say transform the world just because we think that that's something we may be able to do. With the power of God, we have the ability. You have the ability to transform the world. Expand your mind. Open up your heart and allow the Spirit of God to transform you so that he can transform your house, so that he can transform your neighborhood, so that he can transform Montgomery County and the state of Maryland, the United States, and all seven continents. As a result of what Daniel did, as a result of Daniel's perspective, we are here today. That probably went over a lot of y'all's heads. Because of what happened with Daniel, and because Daniel had the right perspective, if we believe what the Word of God says and how it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how the principles transcend time, because of what Daniel did and because of Daniel's perspective, we have access to what we have today. And so the question becomes, who 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200, 300 years later will have a direct impact because of the perspective that you had? Whose life will be impacted because of a decision that you make today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, a month from now, 2 years from now? The reality is that your perspective makes a difference. Your perspective is important. Your perspective plays a grand a role in the grand scheme of everything that happens in the world. And so if you are not in a place where your perspective is not correct, here's your opportunity to get it right. It's not too late. You're not too old. You're not too small. You're not too wide. For the Spirit of the living God to use you. Now, oftentimes, we don't like to be challenged on our perspective. Because a lot of us don't like accountability. And we surely don't like responsibility. But in the place where God has called us to, I said during visitor's time, it's not by coincidence that God allowed you to be in this place today. So that I could ask you the question, how is your perspective? If you never don the doors of this church ever again, that's okay. But just know, as a result of you being here, that God is holding you to a different standard. You can't say any longer, well, I didn't know. Because God allowed you, ordained from the beginning of time, God knew that on September 16th at 11 a.m. that you were going to make your way here to Emory Grove and that you were going to be in a position to hear what the Word of God says, and more importantly, that he is going to elevate you and elevate your perspective so that he can move you to where it is he wants you to be. And so you may say to yourself, well, Reverend Holt, great word. I hear you. I got everything you said. But I don't know how to get there. Like, help me. What is the 1, 2, 3? And if that's you today, I'm so glad you're here. So that I can introduce you to a man. The one who set the perspective, to set the example for what the perspective is. His name is Jesus. He came to this earth. In over 33 years, he ministered to people in many different places. He only traveled with a group of 12, but his impact was felt worldwide. And you have the opportunity to get to know that person. You have an opportunity to get to know that Jesus. And so if you don't have a relationship with him today, we invite you to come. That's the first invitation. The second invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, Reverend Holt, I got the connection. I just don't have a church home. I don't have a place where I can go to week after week and be trained and be encouraged and learn what it means to have a biblical perspective. Now, I won't lie to you. We're by no means a perfect church. Pastor Warren and I are the chief sinners here. But we are a church that is saved by grace. And we are a church that strives to be all that God has called and created us to be. He's not here, but he would say if he was here, he would love to be your pastor. He stands about 6'8", but he has a heart of an 8-foot-tall man. He would love to call your name before God. He would love to walk in ministry with you. And so would all of us here as a family. And a third invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, Reverend Holt, I've been away from home. And I hear my daddy saying, it's time. It's time to get reconnected so that I can begin to change my perspective. And so as you stand to your feet this morning, if you fall within either of those three categories, we invite you to come. Everybody who came and accepted Jesus Christ did it openly and publicly. And so today we invite you to come. If you hear the Spirit of God saying, my son and my daughter, today is your day. Will you come?